Mr. Smith Talks Triathlon, episode 49. What did you do at the weekend? Mr. Smith Talks Triathlon, practical triathlon advice for everyday athletes, including Ironmen and 70.3ers.
And that's what it's all about, isn't it?
Because that's what we did at the weekend.
Well, actually, before we even talk about the weekend, welcome back, Doug. The fans have been missing you. It's been been protests on the airwaves that,
I had to put a lot of fake email addresses together to demand that I get back on the airwaves. So sorry for spamming you, but absolute pleasure to be back. It's life and triathlon got in the way, but that's okay.
Yeah, mainly my life and my triathlon, but... yeah, look, it's great to have you back. We were hoping to do a celebration episode number 50 or something like that. And sadly, folks, Doug won't be here every week, even though he is the life of the podcast. But great to have you here.
I'm sure there's a song, you know, people say on the life of the podcast. But yeah, we'll save that for another time.
Maybe your kids know that one.
Yeah. Okay. Embarrassing dad moment. Fantastic to see you. You look pretty good after completing an Ironman in about an hour and 1 minute faster than you ever have before at the weekend. Well done.
I'm a little tired still, you?
I'm a little tired, but I only covered half the distance.
And, yeah, but you also PB'd, so in a shorter time span. I think mine was, six years between PBs? Yours was three months? Yeah, impressive.
No, it was a great weekend up in Taupo, and some great stories, and we may name some names. Apologies if you do get missed out, because due to popularity, Mr. Smith, including himself, had 46 athletes, and yes, we are athletes, taking part across the two races. I think it was 20 in the Ironman and 25 in the 70.3.
Yep, that's right.
Yep, I've missed you out on that count.
That's quite all right.
21 in the Ironman.
It's not about me. It's everyone else. And look, I was, when I actually counted up, it took me a long time to count up and realize how many people we actually had there. I think the 70.3, having that as a big event this time around versus the usual small one it was. And a lot of people who were keen to do another end of season event. We just had a huge team there, and it was quite incredible for the support and the team atmosphere being out there on course and on the sidelines.
Yeah, a bunch of people, like-minded, enthusiastic, and we come in all shapes and sizes and all speeds from fast, and we might talk about him, to those at the other end, and the typical normal distribution curve. There's a bunch of us somewhere in the middle, there or thereabouts. But
and that's the sport, and that's what this is all about. It's what we do, isn't it?
Yeah. So I think, you know, today, this episode was really about talking about those two events.
Yeah.
A little bit about our experience on the day and other little nuggets that we've picked up from some of the people. You know, the good, the bad, and the bits that went a bit skew with.
Yeah.
Because as we've talked about in some of the other episodes, it's not an exact science, and when you're out there for somewhere between, you know, depending which event you're doing, somewhere between 5 hours and 16 and a half, the likelihood of something going a little bit awry,
a lot can happen in that time,
even with all the best planning in the world, is, you know, there's a chance. So
we're not going to go through blow by blow every moment of our races. That's but we'll talk about some of it.
We're not,
well. Let's talk about you, Doug.
You
set a PB 3 months ago. Was a PB after how many years?
Eight.
There we go. And then you went even faster again this time around. So for you, your race, you had a great race out there. What do you reckon made the difference to step it up even further again?
So it's such a rubbish way to start a sentence. It's very, firm. Racing twice in a season in reasonably close succession, I think, was really good, because the experience of December was still fresh in my mind. Yeah, you know, over previous years, I've just been a one event sort of guy, and it's usually been Taupo in December, and then, you know, Christmas and the rest of the year happens, type thing. So the learnings from that were great. The feeling of intensity and effort were fresh in my mind. What was really good even leading into December, but also then leading into this event, was the use of power. Now, we've talked about it. You're an evangelist about for power, but on the bike, we changed the numbers slightly.
Yep.
You changed the numbers based on how I'd gone in December. You gave me some different numbers to focus on, and lo and behold, the majority of my PB actually was delivered on the bike.
I think the great thing with that is that we said, okay, you'd had a running injury, so that held the running back a bit, and we said, well, because you haven't had a big build into the running, we don't really know what's going to happen there, so let's take the chance to experiment a little bit and see if you push the bike a little bit harder, what's going to happen for that run. And lo and behold, the run was still magic considering how little running you'd had.
Yeah, so my run, without boring people, it was only about 10 seconds slower than my run had been in December. And it was a bit of an unknown due to I had a calf injury and had not done some of the tempo work or the hill work over the January and February. But you adjusted my schedule, you eased me back into it, you did what you knew I should do, not what I probably would have done voluntarily. running for 8 minutes, walking for two for an hour and a half. It's challenging mentally.
Yeah.
Not so much physically, but mentally.
You just want to get on with it and do it, don't you?
Yeah. But a great lesson over those months leading up until the weekend were, follow the process. I pay you. You know what you're talking about. Just follow that. So the other thing with the run, having come off the bike and knowing I'd made up or gained some time on a PB, the virtual me that was somewhere behind me at that point, I did start the run slowly, as you'd suggested, trying to stick to the pace, and felt strong with another 5 or 6K to go, so pushed it and was pretty much dead on what I'd done in December. So,
and lo and behold, with a negative split.
My first ever negative split.
Yeah.
You keep on going on about it. You talk about going out at a pace that allows you to be strong at the finish.
Mm.
And I was. And yeah, I was digging pretty deep.
Yeah.
But it felt fantastic to be finishing stronger than you'd started. So,
and we're not trying to get a huge difference between the first and the second half, but just enough control at the start to be strong at the end. And what was it? It might have been a minute difference between the two laps.
Yep, it was only about a minute, but it felt like more.
Yeah.
And maybe that's a mental thing as well, as much as a physical thing, that you feel you're finishing strong.
Yeah.
Because guess what? There's a bunch of people out there that aren't finishing strong, and that actually makes you feel stronger.
Well, we sat down and we looked at the results. And on the Ironman results, it gives you what was your position for this segment of the run versus other people. And through both the bike and the run, you got a negative split, but it was very consistent effort across the two, yet all the way through both the bike and then the run, you were making up places on other people who had gone out hard and then faded.
Yep.
And quite significant places, like gained 100 places over the run.
Mm. So, there's not a lot of there are no negatives really to take from the day.
Mm.
I had a fantastic day. I was pretty relaxed going into it because the expectation was low because of the calf injury. My expectations were not. I hadn't really set any huge ones because I was almost as excited about supporting the people who were doing the full Ironman. Once I'd done my bit, done my little half.
And I'm really impressed that you were there supporting, but maybe that was the beer that was helping.
Yeah, I did have to find a seat at a place that provided cold beverages, but that's okay.
On the run, that I've been talking to people, others in the squad have been through a similar thing where there have been injuries that have been holding the running back. And it's a really hard thing to sell and convince people of, and even I have doubts at times, but so many times I've seen people with running injuries who have still had such great races. And that really comes down to your overall fitness and the overall work you've done. So what we saw was that even though you'd had basically a full year of training up to December for the half then, you still had another 3 months of training after that, and your fitness grew even further in that time. So overall, even with taking into account the Christmas holidays and the bit of downtime and the less running, your fitness was higher 3 months in March. So that was a real contributor as well.
Yeah, and a very pleasant surprise, and another learning that I'll just tuck away, because if you'd asked me previously, I would have said I'm probably going to be about 10 minutes slower on the run because I've done nothing. But it's not about doing nothing. It's about doing the right things. And as you say, you know, that base fitness was there anyway.
Yeah.
And probably enough to get me through those 21Ks. And,
yeah, that's right.
Yeah. But I think the really important thing that you did tell me, and because I'd been injured, I was very strict about it, was to go out moderately.
Yeah.
Moderately fast compared to fast.
Yeah.
So that I did have something left, if there was anything left. If I'd gone out moderately hard and then found that it was all a bit tough, then yeah, I was just going to slow down. But yeah, tick in the box, some great lessons. Not a huge one, but from a nutrition perspective, that's been a real lesson over the two events.
Yes.
And I hard to remember what I ate and drank back in the day, but I certainly remember, you know, leaving transition with all manner of gels in me pockets and this, that, the next thing, and thinking I need one every 5Ks and this, that. The last two events on the bike, it's just been the two bottles of Tailwind and one EMS bar, which in days gone by I'd have thought that ain't nearly going to be enough. And on the run, I've just used the aid station food. Well, not even food. It's been Coke, electrolyte, water.
Yep.
One, give or take, half a cup, depending how full the cups are. And I walk through so I don't spill too much. You know, one of each. And that's worked really well. Historically, yeah. I would have tried to be,
stuffing things in.
Yeah.
Look, your nutrition is still on the light side of what I recommend, but it works. Yeah. And that's something so important to remember, is that it is so different for everybody. And we try and come up with a range, but it's so important for everyone to experiment and figure out what's going to be the right balance.
Yeah.
What about day-to-day nutrition? Because I think over the course of the season, that was a huge win for you.
Yeah, so I rolled into, and I don't mind telling people, but rolled into the December event at about 67.5 kgs. You know, we'd set some targets around increasing my watts per kilogram, and there's two ways to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Starve yourself. eat appropriately and clearly get stronger. It's tough in the world that we live in. You know, I'm an IT sales guy. There's lunches, there's coffees, there's scones,
socializing.
There's all that kind of thing. But I worked pretty hard and I got pretty lean for December. Not running as well as Christmas and, you know, summer barbecues. I was certainly a bit heavier. I was probably about 70 or maybe 71 going into the event on Saturday.
Yep.
But I didn't feel any bigger, if that makes sense.
Yeah, for sure.
I felt good. I felt ready to go. But it is it's a huge, it makes you feel, I don't know, really good when you've eaten well over a long period of time. I'm sure there's mental benefits, physical benefits, and you think, do you know what, I've done the best I can in the world that I live in the life that I lead. And
well, what you did was superb, because your weight change, not that you were a big guy to start with at all, but you knew very clearly there was going to be some benefits, but just dropping a bit of weight over time.
Yep.
And you did that, and your running is the best that it's been ever, or in a very long time. At the ripe old age of,
I'm sure I had a very fast half marathon when I was 19, back in the 80s.
Yeah. but that's definitely been a big success factor in your season. From my perspective, that your dedication to the training, you were not doing big volumes as it goes, but you were dedicated week in, week out, and you were just really consistent over that time, slowly building it up.
Yep. And I think, again, to your coaching methodology, bearing in mind I am north of 50 now, it wasn't about running five times a week. There was some short, you know, there was a decent run on a Tuesday night and then maybe a 30-minute run on a Wednesday just to test the body, just to give it that little extra bit of load. Yep. But it wasn't squat on a Tuesday night and then
destroy
an hour and
yourself.
15 minutes, you know, because my, as you know, my body probably would have given up the ghost.
Yeah.
So I think overall a great day. I've had a fantastic season. The tweaks and the changes that you make, whether it be because of an injury or because of a business commitment I've got, are just fantastic. the weight loss thing, yeah, don't get too obsessed about it. But at the end of the day, when there was a bit less of me to take, go up Mount Victoria or ride up Moonshine.
But,
we've got some great stories in the squad of guys and gals who've shed some kilos, and lo and behold, there's PBs. They feel great. They look great.
Yeah. And especially when you're going over a long distance, small things over a long time make a big difference.
Yeah, I skipped that physics class, but I'm sure there's some real science behind.
Yeah.
You know, for every kilo less that you weigh over a 90K on the bike out to Reparoa and back, at a certain wattage, you're going to go this much faster.
Yep. Your frontal drag is less than it used to be.
That is fantastic. A big thank you to you, Gerard.
There's
probably a bunch of people out there who would like to thank you, and will do over the coming weeks. You're humble in the way you deal with us, but we are incredibly grateful for the way that you look after us.
Thank you. I don't do it for the public recognition or anything like that. It's what I love doing. I'm really lucky in my job, and we get to the stage of the season and get to celebrate the successes that there have been. It's fantastic.
Well, I'm afraid there is going to be some public recognition. Well, depends how many people listen to the podcast. You've been on one hell of a journey since, bit before, but I became very aware of it on Waitangi Day last year, when you invited myself and Mr. Warren Sue to the Villa Cafe to share some news.
Yeah. So, bit of a shock. I was meant to do Ironman last year, and I was chugging along with the training, going quite nicely, and then got a bit crook one day, off to the doctor, and very quickly say, you have testicular cancer. And that does not compute. I'm young and fit and healthy, but
under 50. Yeah.
Big unknowns, and that obviously took me out of Ironman. Had an operation, and actually one of the worst things was I had to sit on the couch and watch Ironman online for the first time in more than 10 years.
Yep.
That I'd been there every other year, either competing or supporting, and so that was actually really hard to do.
I was going to go with that would drive you nuts, but that's, at that stage, it just drove you nut.
Correct. And did you see the photo of on someone shared of my daughter who set a special message to come up on the big screen at Ironman for me?
We did see it. I think the world has seen it. Yes.
It's publicly talked about all of the time. No shame in this family.
So you got through that over a period of time, because I know the operation didn't go perfectly. They managed to cause some additional damage whilst
You slice an artery. That's not really part of the plan, but shit happens.
Yeah.
And so that laid me out of action for a while, and so it was a very slow return to training last year, and it was great when I got the all clear and I was back into it. That was fantastic. I feel very, very lucky, because look, I had it easy compared with so many people out there going through the same thing.
Yeah, and we've talked about that word gratitude when you think, oh, I've got a dodgy calf, or oh, it's raining, I can't get out on the bike.
Yeah.
But you know, when we can, we do, and there's a bunch of people who can't.
That really influenced my year, and that after being quite driven towards Ironman last year, then not making it, my approach to it this year was a lot lower key. And in fact, I got very busy, because as we just found out at this event, we had a very big squad this year. And from kind of the middle of the year through to December was a very, very busy time with so many people in the team and events coming up and things like that. So I actually went into a bit of a funk at that stage. And looking back at it, I still hadn't really come to terms or processed what I'd gone through with the cancer. And then I was quite busy on the work front and things going on the home front. So I went into a bit of a funk at that stage. So my training really took a back seat. And so we got to December and I did the half. And I was really ecstatic with my result there, because I really didn't feel like I was in that kind of shape.
Yep.
And that really, really buoyed me up for what was to come. And when I look back at it now, that was probably one of the best things that could happen, because I talk about pacing your season and not getting too excited too early on. And I think if I had been fantastic, I'm back in action, it's all go from earlier last year, I think I probably would have burned out.
Mm.
And the way it turned out once we had the December halves, I had a bit of a holiday over Christmas, came back to it, I was just absolutely fizzing with excitement. Yep. It was, I was fresh enough, I was ready, I was charged up, and I was loving the training at that stage. Mm. And so to come into that stage of the season feeling like that was such a positive. The training at that time of year was an absolute joy.
Yeah, and it's like the extended mix of, you know, the week training that you deliver to most of us.
Yeah.
The slow, steady stuff has to happen.
Yeah, that's right.
The stuff that you do when you feel like you're not really doing anything beneficial, well, we don't. It's like, well, why do I have to run this slowly?
Yeah.
But it's about, you can't be full noise all the time.
Mm.
Or you're just going to burn out at some point, an unknown point somewhere in the distance. So, yeah, as you say, in hindsight, being forced to be a little bit slow, to go into a little bit of a funk, yep, rather than absolutely fizzing at the bung, so to speak, day in, day out, probably benefited you. So
absolutely.
January, February went well.
Yeah, and there's a lot of factors. We had fabulous weather. Every Saturday was great for riding long. When we were, it was magic. So we got to the event, and we actually did our last long ride 2 weeks out, and I was just bursting. It was my best ride so far of the season, bursting to go. All good for it.
Yeah.
And I said to people, I'm probably too excited right now, and I was. So we came to the week before Ironman, and the start of that week, I actually didn't sleep so well, got quite tired, and found myself a little bit run down going into it. But look, when you've done the training, it happens, it comes together.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, to actually have that day there after what felt like I wasn't really trying too hard in training, my day-to-day nutrition was reasonably lax. That I was, there was a few beers on a nice sunny day, and fried chicken waffles the day before for lunch with breakfast with the family probably wasn't the best move, but that's just how it was. So I was super stoked to have such a great performance, and when I was looking back at it, and you probably heard me after the race, I said to my wife Kirsten, I said, that's the race I should have had back in 2012.
Mm.
And that my first ever Ironman was 2009, came back in 2012 in fantastic shape, but just happened to be a weather bomb that year where it was cut in half, didn't get to do it. And after that, I went through several years of injuries and various other things which have held me back. So it's fantastic. I'm just blabbering too much, but yeah, it feels great to be back and loving it. And so, feeling good about my own performance.
It's your podcast. You can blabber as much as you want, because he can blabber now, but he was blubbering on Saturday night.
Oh, too bloody right.
I think I got a bit of dust in my eye as well when he went across the line. I think for all the Smithies, not just the 45 of us that were out there doing the half or the full, but everybody who's come across you in the last, you know, since you started doing this gig, we were just absolutely stoked for you. It's a bit of a Kiwi colloquialism, stoked, mate. just absolutely wrapped for the whole journey, but particularly the last sort of 13, 14 months, Gerard. It's been, you know, a pleasure having you as the coach, and long will that continue, but just great to see you do your thing, do something for you.
I was so humbled to be out there and have the support on the sidelines from the squad, from the other people in Wellington, and even a few people who have listened to this podcast and had let both of us know that they're listeners. And so, yeah, that was quite incredible. That's that kind of thing that really got me through, because it's, as I had forgotten, it's not an easy day out there for Ironman.
No. And, we talked about going global. We haven't quite done that yet from the podcast perspective. But I did hear that the whoever's commentating transition as I left to go out on the bike, fully Mr. Smithed up. Somebody said, and here's Doug Stark from Wellington, one of Gerard's crew.
Right.
So you're known. You know, world famous in New Zealand. Oh, I think actually someone's already used that, haven't they?
We'll take it. Hey, so look, enough about us. What about, because you had your race, and then graciously, I don't know if you had a chance for a sleep, but you were back on the sidelines and you were there for a long time. What about observations from watching others in 70.3 and Ironman? What do you see from that?
So observations from Ironman, I have no ambition to do another Ironman. that might wear off. 70.3, specific observations, it was a big crowd out there. There were 1,200 supposedly about 1,200 people out on the bike. It was congested.
Mm.
You know, there's not a lot of fan as if I have fans. There's not a lot of support from people you know when you're out on the bike. Yeah. That's a bit hard. But the run, just superb. You know, other Smithies, other people from other squads, Wellingtonians, just people you know. The encouragement, the community, the togetherness, all those lovely words.
Yeah.
It means a hell of a lot.
Yeah.
It's just fantastic. And, you know, even people, you know, yep, I had a strong run, so I went past a couple of people, but they were so encouraging, even if they were having a bit of a tough day. So that was superb. Getting to a suitable seat with a cold beverage a little bit after 1 o'clock, and then, you know, using the Ironman tracker to figure out who's going to be coming past and when. Just great. And again, there were a bunch of tri-club people there, Wellingtonians, and we were just waiting for everybody who we knew who was coming through and just shouting and screaming and probably embarrassing them and occasionally coming out with the rubbish line, you've got this or you look great. Yeah, too soon.
But geez, it makes a difference. Just that continual noise and support and acknowledgement when you're still out there doing it.
Yeah.
A couple of people who were out there late in the Ironman race commented that they felt the crowd was pretty thin on the ground as you got further out of town this year, kind of more so than last year. But every time they come back into town, just such a boost from what they were receiving there.
Yeah, our own mountain man, Steve Mosley, commented to me. I dropped him a note to say well done for his event, and he went, "Geez, there was a lot of you out there. I was just looking to suffer in peace." So, yeah, a lot of encouragement. But, when the run leg, three laps is great. Can't imagine what it would have been like when it was the old two legs and you went way out of town past the roundabout.
Yeah, that's a long grind.
Yeah. It does get a bit thin later in the day, and it's hard to have people on the course all that time cheering you along, but
I think along those lines too, what you were talking about, the support of others, is being part of a team, not just ours, but we see it from other teams, other tri clubs, coaching groups out there, that when you're part of a team, it's just so amazing to share the experience of that day, and the support that you get from others is huge.
Yeah, and when we're sporting the gear, you can you sort of pick up the gear before you recognise who the person is.
Yeah.
And whether you're on the bike and there's a little lift of the finger off the tri bars, or on the run there might be a low five or whatever. It's just it gives you a little boost, and it distracts you from whatever you might be going through. For it might only be 4 or 5 seconds, but it's a welcome relief. And yeah, just a fantastic group of people. Again, as I said earlier, from all walks of life, just looking to achieve different things, but all at the same time.
Yeah. Mm. From a coaching perspective, looking, as we were talking about before with your result, about the places that you made up on the bike and the run as you went through those, and watching others out there analysing results, look, I'll always push it about pacing. And I think I made the comment to the group on Facebook today that the person who slows down the least in the Ironman run is going to do the best, and it doesn't mean the winning, but the best they can possibly do.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and I saw that very clearly from the people that I was around in the run, the results of the team, looking at those, that the get that pacing, be on top of that pacing. It doesn't have to be perfect, but if you're in control, you're going to have the best possible day that you can on that day.
Yeah, and I think that to my run, but your science around us doing the park run time trials, that whole thing, you can figure out and say, Doug, you should be, if it was the Ironman, you should be running at 5:45.
Yeah.
You gave me a number for the half, a bit faster than that, and it worked.
Yeah.
As I was running that first lap, I thought, I feel like I'm going too slow.
Yeah.
But then I finished within 10 seconds of the previous 3 months previous, where I thought, you know, I was flying.
Yeah.
But there was nothing in it, so yeah.
There's certainly people who will say, well, actually, you've got to roll the dice and risk it sometimes and have a go, and I completely agree with that. But yeah, on the whole, you have to be, to set up your best possible race, if you've done the work, if you've got the data, you can go into it with a really solid plan and a high level of confidence of what you're capable of.
Mm. And we, you, I, they delivered.
Yeah.
Yeah, a great day. Yep, there'll be a few stories of those where it didn't quite work out. As we said earlier, it doesn't always work out by the nature of the amount of time you're out there and what you're putting yourself through. But some fantastic stories, first-timers, people back Again, we won't name a load of names, but there were some super fast first timers, and there were some solid people who are back there for their, you know, another go. So to all of them, and to you, Mr. Smith, congratulations. Put your feet up at least for a week before the emails start coming from the coach, because you'll want more money. So he'll be suggesting we enter something else ridiculous.
Time to go again. No, look, and funnily enough, I'll do a podcast on this soon. Probably won't have you. Sorry, folks, it's going to be back to short and sweet from me for a while, but definitely we'll have Doug involved. But now is the time to kick back. Don't rush back into anything just yet. It's really celebrate the work that you've done. Have some time with the family and friends again, because triathlon's a big sport in terms of time it takes. You've probably ignored all of those people in your life to some degree. Have the time with them, celebrate that, enjoy being out of the structure and not doing too many serious things, because there'll be plenty of time as we go to roll back into it.
Yep, fantastic, Gerard. Again, thank you for everything you do. Congratulations on Saturday.
Stoked to be part of your team, Doug.
Absolutely chuffed for you, and to everybody else, congrats on the day you had. Whether it was good or bad, you know, you were out there doing your thing, and whether good or bad, there will be another day.
Absolutely.
Another time.
Yep, it's the events are always going to be there, another chance.
Until then, all the very best.
Fabulous. Thank you. Bye.